When discussing Chinese politics and economics, it's very easy to get lost in the numbers. China's just so big, and there's so many people there that at times you can forget the individual. Ian Johnson knows this well. His book on China, called Wild Grass, contains three riveting stories of individuals and how a changing China affects their everyday lives. Johnson told Anne Strainchamps one of those stories.
I first went to this part of China, the Los Plateau, which is up in northwestern China, to write a story about an interesting development in China, class action lawsuits, where thousands of people band together and sue the government. I went up there and talked to peasants who had successfully sued the local government because they had had property stolen from them by local officials. And so they sued the government and got their property returned.
Is that a fairly unusual thing to do in China?
It is fairly unusual. And it was just starting then in the late 1990s, these class action lawsuits. And it seemed like a great story. And these people had been successful and so on. Then it turned out I got calls from local people there a few months later saying that other peasants had and villages had tried to file suit also, and they had been turned down. All their suits had been turned down. And that got me turned on to Mr. Ma, who was the main leader of one of the villages.
And who is Mr. Ma, and what did he do?
Well, Mr. Ma is what's known in China as a legal worker. He's not quite a lawyer. He's not able to handle criminal suits. But he had lived in this village and had gone later to a town to live. And his village where he had lived, his hometown, suffered a drought. And the people there had no crops that year and yet were assessed taxes as though they had had an income. And when they couldn't pay, the local officials broke into their homes and took away their valuables, fans, thermoses, blankets, in some cases televisions. People didn't have a lot, but what they had was taken from them in lieu of the taxes that they owed. So they appealed to Mr. Ma for help, and after a lot of deliberation, he eventually decided to take up their case and represent them as their lawyer and help them file a lawsuit.
Now, Mr. Ma had lived a fairly, politically at least, quiet life up until that point, right? Did this agreeing to take the suit represent something like a political radicalization?
Kind of. He was a cautious person. He had benefited a lot from the Communist Party's rule. He'd come from a poor area, and thanks to preferential policies given to poor rural residents, he had gotten an education. And he hadn't handled really controversial cases before, mainly just civil cases, helped people file petitions and so on. But when he heard about the case in his hometown, he eventually decided that he had to do something and took the case. So it was a bit of a radicalization for him. Just the first step, but he got more radical as the story proceeds.
Was it a difficult decision for Mr. Ma, do you think, to agree to take that case?
It was. Everybody in his family said stay away from it because it's a no-win situation. They're not going to allow you to handle the case. The case won't be successful. It'll cause you problems. But when he heard about the peasants' suffering, and I think it had a lot to do with the fact that it was his hometown, then he decided he had no choice. And after stewing over it for a few days, he finally decided he'd take it.
And what happened then?
Well, he filed suit on behalf of the peasants, asking for their tax money and property to be returned to them. And the case was rejected by the local courts, the same courts that had ruled in favor of these other peasants that I had written about several months earlier. And this got him kind of worried, and he also decided maybe at this time he should just drop it. But he went back home to the hometown to visit his mother, who was still alive, and he saw the really desperate situation of the local residents there. And then he made a fateful decision, which was to lead just a few small protests against the local officials.
What happened?
That was when he went from being just a lawyer to the leader of a peasant, maybe a rebellion or a small uprising. He started protests, For example, they went down to the local county seat with tractors carrying banners saying that the local officials should only tax according to the law and not according to their arbitrary whims. And he met with local officials from the Public Security Bureau, and when this didn't work, he led an even bigger protest to the next biggest administrative center in the plateau area. And eventually, he took the peasants to protest in Beijing.
At what point did Mr. Ma realize that if he continued with this lawsuit, it might become personally dangerous for him?
I think he was kind of naive for most of the time that he was protesting. He had this idea that a lot of people have that it's just the local officials, a few rotten eggs locally, that are the problem. But that if only he could let people higher up in the system know, that everything would be okay. It's this old feeling or this old idea that people have in China that the emperor is okay, it's just the local officials who are corrupt. That's why he kept ratcheting it up a notch, saying, well, if the local officials aren't listening to me, I'll go to the county officials. And if they don't listen to me, I'll go to the provincial officials. And finally, he goes to the center of power. He goes to Beijing. And it was only there that he really got in trouble. And I don't think he ever really realized how much trouble he was going to get into.
What happened to him?
He got arrested and beaten up and put on trial and sentenced to 5 years in jail for disturbing social order, which is a catch-all phrase used to silence people.
Hmm. Did you ever actually meet Mr. Ma in person?
No, I didn't. That was one of the interesting parts of the story, that I was searching for somebody who was not around and trying to find traces of him and traces of what he'd done, the impact that he'd had on this community. And that was really the interesting thing. Although his story was kind of depressing because he doesn't succeed, he actually had a big impact on the community, and people were really inspired by what he'd done. There were constant petitions for him to be released. More than 30,000 peasants signed another petition, all putting their names on it, their names and addresses on the petition, calling for his release.
He became a kind of folk hero.
Oh yeah, very much. I mean, he was called a Nongmin Yingxiang, a peasant champion or a peasant hero in that area. And people really revered what he'd done. And I think he inspired them. And local people felt that things had changed, that the local officials wouldn't be quite as cavalier when they dealt with them the next time, that they would respect the locals more. And I think that's part of also the overall change in China, that people are pushing the envelope of change bit by bit through these small individual acts.
Ian Johnson is the author of Wild Grass, Three Portraits of Change in Modern China. Johnson won the Pulitzer Prize for his reporting in the Wall Street Journal on the Falun Gong, and Strange Champ spoke with him.